Text or WhatsApp your view to Greg on 086 60 25,000.
Okay, later on we are giving away a one-for-all voucher worth €100. It's courtesy of our friends at Virgin Media. We're taking two of you on the radio to answer two relatively simple questions, and whoever answers quickest wins. It's that simple. If both get it wrong, we'll do a tiebreaker. We've it all sorted. We think on our feet here. I like to see us as nimble, fleet of foot, that we can think on our feet, and we have done that. So if you want to get involved in that, just send in your name, where you're from, and your number, and you'll have to come on air, answer a quick question. As I say, it's only for fun. No one's going to be embarrassed or called out or anything like that there. And whoever answers the question quickly or most quick, quickest, will win a €100 one-for-all voucher. We've got one every day this week, so we'll be doing it all week. That's a bit of fun. Has Caroline decided what time we're doing it? I don't know. She hasn't yet. Interesting commentary on social media from John Harn, who'd be well known, of course, in Donegal GEA circles, and would love to get a chat with him a little later on in the programme. But I'm sure if you're a supporter of some clubs that were in action yesterday, this might resonate to you. Mike McGurn had originally tweeted, "Fair play down senior GEA management in allowing non-starting players to talk out for club. Getting much needed match time will stand to them. Love to see Down with the TC now and hopefully start a positive precedent." Now, what you would be aware, perhaps, when you went to watch your local team play is that there might be a player on the Donegal panel who sat it out, had to sit it out because they're not allowed to play club games. That's my understanding of it. And John mentioned a situation of a young lad who was on the Donegal panel being thrown off it yesterday after training because he played for his club on Friday evening. He's played 30 minutes of football since April 27th. What's going on there? So, as I say, hopefully John might come on and tease this out with us a little. If he doesn't, we can have the conversation ourselves. Do you think that is right? I mean, there are teams that lost by a point, no, by a score, who had, you know, county level players sitting on the bench who couldn't come on and play in the game. Where's the sense in that? They're being starved of competitive football. Maybe what is the logic to begin with? But anyway, I know there's going to be people out there who have a view on that. Get involved in that conversation. 086 60 25,000, WhatsApp and text. So Dan, we're able to make that decision. Surely we perhaps, should we follow suit? Again, I don't pretend to be an expert in areas that I'm not, which is none. So someone out there will probably educate me and say, this is why we're doing it. This is why it makes sense. This is why it should be maintained. That's grand. As I say, every day's a learning day. Or maybe others might come on or text in and say, it's ridiculous for this reason and it needs to change. Get involved, though, as I say, 07491 25,000, if you want to give us a call, or text 086 60 25,000. Now, two comments came into me over the weekend as it relates to interactions with the health service, two different kind of experiences, okay? So I'll read a positive one first. It says, "Hi, Greg, this is a good comment about Letterkenny University Hospital, as it's got a lot of bad press lately. But our personal experience today was 5-star. My dad needed emergency treatment, and after exhausting other options, I rang 999. Within 5 minutes, the ambulance was pulling into our street." Now, they are Letterkenny-based. "The operator stayed on the phone with me until it arrived. The ambulance staff, Colleen and Cahill, were amazing, and Dad felt calm, and they waited till after their finished time to see that Dad got seen to. I'm currently in the hospital with Dad in a ward in casualty. It's nearly 11 at night. The doctor has been, he is being treated like a king. The place is busy but calm. Dad's nurse, Lorraine, is just so amazing and kind to him. Just wanted to give a nice positive experience about the hospital, as we are quick to give negative comments. Dad's doing okay and is comfortable," which is good news. Now, that was the end of last week, and hopefully that persists. So fair play to the ambulance crew and the staff in the hospital for that person's experience. Here's a second one. "Hi, Greg, I'm sure you're fed up hearing this at this stage, but our boy, on his 12th birthday on Wednesday, got bit by our dog. Blood flying from his leg, got it slowed up, and phone now, doc. Bite happened at 7 p.m. They phoned back at 9:30 p.m, said to bring him in at 10:15. Got there 3 in front. Got called at 11:45. The doctor gave a a tenetus jab, isn't it? Which I asked for, but couldn't make a decision if he needed a stitch on the wound or not. Said it, we needed to go to casualty. This was at 12:15 in the morning now. after my son had his birthday and a school trip that day. Went over and casualty was full as usual. Decided to wing it until the morning. Wife phoned the doc in the morning, doing everything possible to stay out of casualty. So the bill from now doc pending and paid €60 in convoy to be again referred to casualty as they could not sort it out. Went to casualty, somewhat lucky, in at 3:30 p.m, sorted at 6 p.m. Two paper stitches. Please ask why we went to two GPs and a local nurse and had to end up in casualty for two paper stitches. Now, all's well that ends well, but it's a long old day, that 24-odd hours, and for two paper stitches, a lot of expense, a lot of time and inconvenience. But why could that call not have been made in the now doc surgery? Refin Hop, 6 years of frustration with the civil service, straight from an experienced horse's mouth. A new government has little or no chance. The elephant in the room of governance are in some elements of the unelected and unaccountable civil service. That doesn't look too kindly upon us in Donegal, indeed. And as I say, it's just more and more apparent. And we've been talking about that on this show for a number of years here. And I think we were even having this conversation in this part of the world before, you know, words like the permanent government were used routinely nationally. A caller says, I live in an SI house. Only thing I don't like is the neighbours. Very close. Also, I have a disability and can't walk far. It's up a road. It should be on a flat. So that's a reason why that person might want better accommodation. Thanks for that. Morning, Greg. Not leaving cert, but junior cert maths wasn't great either. Our son said it was far from easy. All right, hopefully he does okay. Oh, the CO2 and time wasted travelling for students does not matter anymore, does it? Interesting point. Maybe they'll say many of them are public transport. I don't know. Good morning, all. Hi, Greg. When you say there are 12,000 people homeless in Ireland, is that 12,000 homeless all Irish? No, I think 60% of the homeless, right? So let's separate out. The homeless is the long-term homeless, right? There are the figures that are released. There's 12,000 of them. I think 60% are Irish and 40% are made up of other nationalities. That is separate to then figures that you might hear as it relates to international protection people. Okay, they're a separate figure. So the homeless is the ongoing collated homeless that's been a problem for many, many years now. They're not all Irish. There's about 60% of them are Irish, but many of them have been living here for a very long time, but their classification is not Irish. So does that make it any clearer? Hopefully it does. As a football person, how much have Finn Harps received from the FAI at present? Well, all clubs are supported by the football. It's an association, and Finn Harps is part of that association. So presumably it's got its fair share, as of all clubs which are members of that association. Without the clubs, there's no association. So I presume they're, and hope they're, well supported. Rightio, let us take a break for the bingo numbers. Good luck if you're playing. So following on from our message that we received from a father who was frustrated at the treatment of his child in terms of going to now doc and GP and not doing stitches and then getting two paper stitches in Letterkenny University Hospital, or someone who is very high up in the care doc stroke now doc service was on to tell us that it's actually policy of that service not to put in stitches. Now, for what reason, I don't know. We didn't get to tease that out. Perhaps we might. But their policy is to send the patient to casualty. How does that make sense? Would it not make more sense if they were able to administer a couple of stitches? Now, maybe it's for litigation or purposes. I haven't a clue. If a wound were to get infected, I don't know. But that doesn't make much sense, does it? How many people are in ED per year needing a couple of stitches that perhaps could or should be administered by a doctor who probably wants to, but it's not, we're told, that service's policy. Right, Councillor Michael McClafferty is the Cahirlock of Glenties Municipal District and member of the Donegal Joint Policing Committee. He joins us now. Good morning, Michael. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good to have us on the programme. Right, I take it, because you've made a call for it, that you're welcoming the news that a specialist drugs dog is to be added to the Donegal Garda Division. This by the end of this year, we're told.
Yeah, that's correct, Greg. That's come up at Friday's JPC there via the Chief Superintendent, Aidan Glacken, who's the superintendent for this area, as well as Sligo Leitrim now at the minute in Donegal. He announced there that the dog would be here towards the end of the year. So welcome that very much. The good news is, as well as the dog coming, supposed to, the main thing is sanction is guaranteed. This will happen, just whatever, obviously, Time's needed now for it to happen, but administration and so on. But regardless, the dog is coming. Dog will be here, plus his handler or our handlers. And I think it's a welcome news, welcome tool as well for the Gardaí to have alongside the other facilities that they have as well. And hopefully that it will lead to drug detection as it's meant to be, will help a lot in the fight against drugs. And as well as that too, Greg, I'd like to hope as well this morning as well, and even Friday, it will bring some reassurance as well to our parents, teachers, so on, and their communities, that the Gardaí are determined to get a handle on the drugs here, as we public representatives are as well. And it will be reassurance for parents in particular that this is happening, and hopefully it'll bring some comfort to them as well, that all has been done that can be done at the moment. Obviously, we can never have enough. If we could have a dozen dogs, I'd be more than grateful. But at the moment, we're starting with one dog at the minute. Hopefully, that will lead to more over time as they're trained and so on.
And was there any indication as to its role? Like, will this dog do, like we see down in Ireland West, for example, check people coming in on planes, maybe a bit of work in some of our ports? Or, you know, will it be walking through Letterkenny during rally weekend or something? I mean, do we know how a drugs dog is used, in the fight against drugs in reality?
Well, in reality, of course, Greg, I would like to think the same as yourself, the point you've made there, that's what it will be used. But in fairness, the chief superintendent or the superintendents didn't elaborate on what the plan was going forward, other than the dog was landing, I suppose, for operational matters until the dog is actually physically here, standing among us or beside us. We'll not know until that happens what his role will be then going forward. But certainly I would like to think now it'll be certainly used for sniffing out cars, vans, lorries, whatever the case may be, possibly going through crowds. Or as I said to Superintendent Glacken there on Friday and Terry McGinn, previous superintendent before that, Terry McGinn as well, get the dog into the nightclubs, get into the busy places wherever it need be, or even if need be, when the nightclub's over, get it in the next day into an empty house, take his time to go around and see what it turns up. This is the kind of thing, like, unless we cover all these angles, Greg, going forward, the drugs are everywhere. The drugs are wreaking havoc on families and communities, as we all know. People are dying from them. People are getting very, very sick that partake in this kind of stuff. And we have all a duty of care ourselves, all us, me, you, everybody else, a member of the public, to try and get a handle on this. Yep. As the chief super pointed out, and it was a very good point. He says, it's like this. He says, while there is a need, he says, demand, there will be a trade. And as while people decide or make decisions to try drugs or take drugs on a regular basis, while that is going on, there will always be a trade for them.
Well, listen, come here, Councillor. I don't want to be negative either, right? Yeah. But, you know, this dog is to be shared with the Sligo Leitrim Division. And we do know, I'm not saying there aren't organised crimes gangs in Donegal, but we do know there are established organised crime gangs in Sligo. So how do we know how much time this dog might actually spend in Donegal? Will it be like everything else and spend most of its time in the Sligo Leitrim Division?
Well, I asked for before, back in the January meeting, Greg, whatever time the dog would arrive. I suppose alluding to stuff like you're saying there yourself, not being negative either. But I did say at that time, like, I hope that whatever dog would be arriving, that would be to be no resources held back for it to get time-wise, so on. If it needed a helicopter to get from A to B, the helicopter should be got immediately for the dog. I said that on Friday as well on a different matter, that the helicopter, we should see the helicopter more here in Donegal as well when need be. Not just going out the rally weekend, as traditionally it has done it for years and years. I mentioned the helicopter in that context as well on Friday because there's an issue with jet skis and that, going in too close to the shores and into swimmers and so on. And obviously it was pointed out then to ring the Gardaí, but that's fair enough, ringing the Gardaí. What do you expect the poor guards to do? They're going to land at the pier, stop at the pier with a car or van, whatever they have. Look at he or she out in the jet ski out in the waters. The helicopter needs to get involved here. And not just alone for jet skis, we should have the helicopter here for more situations as well in Donegal and the fight against crime and everything. And it'd be very welcome that can happen as well. But maybe through time that will happen as well.
Did anyone ask the guards what the breakdown of this dog's time would be between both divisions?
No, Greg, I didn't get into that. I didn't get into the breakdown of the times because, to be quite honest with you, and the warden yourself, I was that delighted to hear the dog was coming. Look, that's a conversation for another day when the dog is actually here.
Yes, but we do have a there is a we well used to tokenism here where Donegal's name gets mentioned into something, but in reality we're always on the hind teat. We want to make sure that's not the case on something like this.
Well, that's of course, Greg, and that's a fair point in common. But I think, Greg, you know yourself, if I get involved something at this stage, I'll certainly not be lying back, staying quiet about it. If it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, as it says in the tin, I will expect the dog when it lands, where appropriate and where possible, that the dog will be out doing its job, what it's meant to be doing. And obviously, if the dog's out doing what it's meant to be doing, the likes of yourself and every other media channel going will be highlighting this.
Yeah.
So we'll know quite soon when the dog lands if he or she is doing, or if they spend their time in Donegal, or if they spend their time elsewhere. And if it is a case, if they do get called elsewhere, well, it just leads to the next question then. We need more of them.
Half a loaf is better than no bread at all, but my welcome with this would be far more cautious than yours, perhaps. The proof of the pudding will be in the internet. I don't know why I'm doing all these food analogies, but my point being is that we'll watch with interest. I have a feeling we'll be having a conversation in the not-too-distant future saying that this dog's barely in Donegal, but anyway, we'll see. Hopefully it's not the case.
Hopefully it's not the case, Greg, but I suppose at the end of the day, the guards are going to say, and we're more than say ourselves, the dog is supposed to be wherever the need is. And
look, yeah, but I don't have that blind trust. I just know historically. Anyway, we shall see. We'll watch with interest. And
I would say, Greg, to be fair, and for the benefit of everybody listening this morning, we'll welcome the news of the morning. It's great news, brilliant that it's coming.
I'll welcome it when I find out how often the dog's in Donegal. That's fair enough, Greg.
I take your point. And look, we will talk about this again more than once, to be fair. But the situation will be when the dog is actually here and his handler is here and whatever, obviously, logistics goes along with it, then are here, then we can physically say they're in Donegal, they're in whatever, either a secret location or public location, they're here, and we can talk about it then, see what's happening then, of course.
Okay, listen, we know there's a scourge of drugs, and anything that actually is addressing it has to be welcome. Thanks for your time. All right, okay, take care. Now, it looks, I could be barking up the wrong tree. It could spend more time in Donegal than suggested. Just historically, we're kind of conditioned to know that Donegal's been mentioned, Sligo and Leitrim's been mentioned. Well, where is things going to go? Let's see what you guys think. One dog, seriously, what use will that be? That means it'll only be in one place at a time, leaving drug dealers to operate freely as they already are everywhere else. Far more importantly, what is the count of the drug squad itself? It's far more important that they get the manpower. Another, one dog, what an insulting drop in the ocean. The size of the ocean around Donegal, what use will one dog be? If it were 10 dogs, it might be worth welcoming. On to the issue of sport here. A caller says, Greg, the Grabball Association seems to have a hold over its members, not allowed to play soccer, down to petty stuff such as not being allowed to wear soccer jerseys to training. It's those attitudes that have stopped us sending our children to Gaelic. Another, and this is a football fan, hurling fan actually, both. Good morning, Greg. I'm a soccer man through and through, but I have to say, hurling, what a game. Two brilliant games yesterday. I only got to see a good portion of the first game. It's excellent. The level of skill is just... is it matched in any other sport, the level of all-round skill and athleticism and heart and bravery? I don't know. You would struggle to find another sport that is as skillful, as intense, as athletic. It really is something else. I prefer football, but I'm full of admiration for people that can play that game at that level. The first game, I don't know, there could have been a free at the end, but anyway, be that as it may. Right, okay, we're going to talk about earthquakes in Donegal. We've had earthquakes more recently. There's been a bit of research as to find out why most earthquakes happen in the northern part of Ireland. This is the kind of stuff fascinates me. So we're going to talk about that, try and get some answers for you after a quick break. Right, so a team of researchers from the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies and the University of Cambridge has discovered that variations in the thickness of tectonic plates relate directly to the distribution and risk of earthquakes in Ireland, Britain and around the world. But we're really interested, because we're incredibly parochial, about the north of Ireland. James Grannell is a researcher at the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies and joins us now. How are you getting on? Good to have you on the programme, James.
How are we getting on, Greg?
Good, good. We're doing great. Okay, so What is the rough breakdown, not numbers, but just in terms of, you know, rough percentages of earthquakes we might see in the northern part of the country versus the rest of Ireland and even Britain, for that matter?
Well, in terms of Ireland, we've been kind of monitoring fairly closely now since 2010, roughly. And it looks like it's about 60 to 70% of what we've been picking up is Donegal. And within Donegal, there's an awful lot in kind of the base of the Fanny Peninsula and also in the Shannon Peninsula. So that's what we've kind of seen so far to date.
Right. So what are tectonic plates?
So basically the surface of the thin surface of the earth is basically broken up into these large large structures, and they're about 100 kilometers, I think, roughly in terms of depth. And so one of the terms that's been thrown around in that paper was called the lithosphere. So this is kind of the upper crust and the little bit into the mantle. So it's about 100 kilometers is what we're talking about there.
And is the tectonic plate just the top part of that, or do they sit on each other?
So until about a certain distance underneath the surface of the earth, the temperatures get so hot so that rock doesn't really, it cannot be in its hard form. So it's a lot more molten. So the thickest or the most condensed material is in that top layer. Just due to the temperatures alone, it can't really exist below 700 kilometers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, like in 4-year old terms, because I sometimes think that's kind of where I'm sitting at with things like this. We have a weaker foundation than perhaps other parts.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's the best way to describe it. In terms of what was published in the paper recently, it's more the case of that we have a slightly thicker lithosphere.
So right. So how does that then lead to more earthquakes, James?
It'd actually be the opposite. It's the thicker is kind of a proxy for older and colder as well. And so in southern Ireland, it's thicker when you get to kind of roughly, it's kind of where the province of Ulster starts. It seems to be getting a little thinner. And then in the Irish Sea, this is also thinner, relatively speaking, as well. And along Western Britain and Eastern Britain then is back to being thicker. So these are kind of proxies for old cold. So then less seismic activity.
I get you. So just, I mean, we've talked about this before, but for those who are new to the topic, when we get an earthquake, and we had the strongest in a decade at Glenveagh National Park, it was a 2.5 magnitude earthquake. Lots of people heard it, and dependent where they are, they described it in different ways. So what happened there, and at what depth?
Okay, so I work for the Irish National Seismic Network, which is hosted in the Dublin Institute. And so we're responsible for, you know, detecting these and recording these and trying to work out what's going on. And so our network of stations, so we've got 10 stations in Ireland, and there's another, the British Geological Survey, they've got stations as well. So on all that, we're able to pick up this earthquake, and we put it at approximately 10 kilometers depth. But the one of the things about earthquake location is that you need a lot of seismic stations to accurately put a number on the depth that is, whereas our latitude and longitude, like where it happened on the surface, that's a much better estimate. But our depth of 10, it's going to 10 plus or minus 5 in either direction. And it's certainly a lot weaker, the depth estimates are.
Now, this doesn't, just because we are more likely to have, or, and this is a question, not a statement, just because we're more likely to have earthquakes, it doesn't mean, that we're more likely to have a significant event. I mean, there'd be other parts of Europe, I think Italy's often mentioned, whereby, you know, you never really quite know when something quite serious might happen. But this is just an analysis of how likely or not, dependent where you are, to feel an earthquake. It's not a precursor to something per se, is it?
Exactly, yeah. So somewhere like Ireland, you know, we're kind of slowly building up a picture that it's about every 2-3 years we would see a magnitude 2.5 at this event. So that seems to be a little bit longer. The previous one was 2012. So, but we're not expecting to see a magnitude 5 anytime soon. in Donegal, for example. It certainly doesn't mean that we're expecting to see larger dramatic events. You know, just once every 10,000 years to see a magnitude 7, no, not at all. We just can't have the amount of stress doesn't build up for that amount of energy to be released, basically.
And what is causing the buildup of stress? Is it literally just the movements of the ocean, the rotation, gravity? I don't know. Like, it is just nature settling or moving, or is that's what's causing stress, or is that what causes stress?
In Ireland in particular, and so it's with Donegal, is that one of the theories about this is that relatively, in geological terms, a very short time ago, there was ice covering down as far as, I think, Donegal, perhaps in Northern Ireland. And when that gets removed in a very short space of time for geological terms, it's kind of like, you know, when you press down on a pillow and leave it go, it'll start to bounce back.
Mm.
And so what we see is that it's called a glacial rebound.
Wow,
and
okay.
So what we're seeing is that some older faults, they do get activated. When also we do have buildup of stress within the European plate, because we have the plate boundaries much further off in the mid-Atlantic, the stress eventually will make its way through the plate and perhaps then can be released then in these older fault lines that we have in Donegal. But generally speaking, we don't expect to see anything large.
But we do see earthquakes with some level of regularity. Is there an upper end that we could anticipate? So 2.5, you know, it generates a lot. It gets scientists excited, and we all have something to talk about because people thought it was a thunderstorm or, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I do seem to recall, I can't remember how long ago it was, where people reported, you know, cups rattling and stuff like that there. I mean, where do you need to get to get that feeling on the surface, and how regular might they be?
Well, certainly the one that happened in Denver last month. So I had the opportunity of looking at all the reports that people sent to us. And amazingly, people sent nearly 300 reports into our institute. So if anyone is listening, I would like to thank anyone that sent us in those reports. It was fascinating information. And in that, so that was magnitude 2.5. Plenty of people did say that they had, say, windows rattled or cups rattled and slight shaking of things that have been loosely lying around the house.
Okay, interesting. This might be right in your wheelhouse or as far out as Fannett Lighthouse, I don't know, but someone wants me to ask you, can you throw any light onto why Errigal, the mountain, is magnetic?
That would be outside of my field, okay. I'm afraid, sorry.
When I was out on the sea, this is something just while I have you, I'm going to ask you, it's probably completely unrelated. When I was out in the sea, you know, I was looking at the cliffs and there, you know, the lines that are along the cliffs, and some of them are really, really straight, you know, dead straight. And then others come down at angles. What's going on there? What's happening there?
Oh, not sure if I can really answer that question. I'm more of a physicist than a geologist.
Bluff it. We don't know the difference between the two.
No, I couldn't answer that.
All right. I'll tell you, we're going to have to get one of your colleagues on then to answer some of these other rocky kind of related questions. Okay. Fascinating stuff, actually. It's really good to get an insight. An awful lot of work and analysis would have had to have gone into this, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you about it. And it's nothing to worry about. It's just why we might be more likely to feel it in the north of Ireland than the south of Ireland, really, isn't it?
That's Greg, there's one thing I would like to mention.
Please.
What we have started recently in our institute is we are facilitating members of the public, if they would like to get their own seismometer, small seismometer.
Wow.
If they're interested in getting one, they can contact us on our website, insn.ie, and we facilitate people to get an instrument then that they can actually have in their own home and kind of see what is recording. And it might be of interest to some people in
for
the
sure,
area.
Sure, I would think so, definitely. And how do people get in contact with DAS, just in case they want to express an interest in that?
Okay, so the Irish National Seismic Network has its own website, www.insn.ie. And from there, then, we have contact details about who to get in touch with.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. James Granell there, researcher of the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies. 086 60 25000. That is the WhatsApp and text number. Does anyone know why the tax office is still not open to the public? It's only open to the public on Tuesdays and Thursdays. There really is no reason as to why this office is not fully open to the public. If a Tuesday and Thursday doesn't suit you, you end up having to arrange a day off. I'm not that great online. Yeah, that's fine. I'm not that great online. A lot of people simply don't want to use online. We have had dozens and dozens of contacts over the months relating to how often tax offices are available for use by the public to call in. Still haven't really received a satisfactory answer as to why that is. But it does pee people off. We'll put another inquiry in and see if we can find out. Greg, we need to get real. Drugs are rife in every community locally in the Gardaí. Know it? Yep, listen. We all know it, and we've done extensive features on it here, talking about the reality of drugs use. It's no longer, if it ever was, a city thing or an urban thing, or, you know, they're everywhere, and they're sold on Snapchat, they're sold on Facebook, you can get uppers, you can get downers, you can get anything you like. And it's been stated that it's as easy to get drugs in Donegal as it is to get a pizza, and we know how easy it is to get a pizza. So listen, make no mistake, none of us are in any denial of the curse of drugs at the moment and the widespread proliferation into Irish society, and particularly for young people who, and it's sad, who might make an unfortunate decision, you know. Maybe they're influenced on social media or on TV shows to think that, sure, look, it'll do you no harm, and then parents and guardians report changes in them and their lives go downhill from there. It's terribly sad and something we need to make sure that we are in control of as much as is possible. Okay, Virgin Media full fibre broadband has arrived in Donegal. To celebrate, this week on the 9 till noon show, we'll be giving away a €100 one for all voucher every day, courtesy of our friends at Virgin Media. Now, these vouchers are redeemable in a plethora of places. You can check out virginmedia.ie to see if you can avail of the new 2 gig full fibre broadband speeds. Now, we have Brian Griffin and Cathal Grant on the show. Brian, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Listening in Buncrana. Cathal Grant, good morning to you.
How are you doing, Greg?
You're also in Buncrana, so this is a bit of an Inishowen derby here. We've got going on, all right. Okay.
Right. I know Brian very well, so I do.
What? Sure, I might as well just call
I know
Brian
Brian very well.
Okay, right. This makes it even more spicy and a complete coincidence. All right, it's good to have you. No splitting it now, all right? So you have to
Johnny play. Johnny Go-Haffers, Brian.
No, pack it in, Cathal.
Johnny Go-Haffers.
Yeah,
right,
go ahead.
No. The whole fun is me getting to ask you questions. Stay where you are. Right, so we have Cathal and Brian on with us. Separately, each player gets to press play, and as soon as they guess the name of the theme song or iconic line from a TV show or another question, the presenter presses pause and notes the length of the play. The other entrant does the same, and the fastest person to get a correct guess is the winner in the day. Right, so I'm going to ask you a question, and as soon as you know the answer, or you have an answer, yes, play the... Oh, Caroline, I am going... Play the piece of music for who to go first? Okay, right. So, to determine which of you goes first, right, okay, we are going to play a piece of music which isn't there, Caroline. So, well, I'm going to go first with... who wants to go first, Cathal or Brian? Cathal, Brian?
I don't mind.
All right, okay.
I'll go first. Brian's the eldest. He can go first.
Brian, you're the oldest. Do you want to go age before beauty, or what way do you want to do it?
That'll do it.
All right, okay. Right, the question is as follows. The first question for you, and this is to set it up. This is from a program, a show called Dirty Dancing. Listen to this. For our
hands require. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Okay, so the question for you, Brian. Jerry Orbach played the character of who in Dirty Dancing?
No idea.
No idea? So that's your answer, no idea? Right, yeah. Okay. That's no problem. That's okay. It's fine. This is going to be the lead-in music for Cathal's question. And I will always love you. Okay, Cahill, I hope you're a big Whitney Houston fan because this is the question. The main love song from The Bodyguard, starring Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner, I Will Always Love You, is from what year, Cahill? Now, you can take your time on this. Not too long either, but, you know, we have a wrong answer from Brian. So what year was The Bodyguard, the main love song from The Bodyguard, I Will Always Love You, is from what year?
I'll just hazard a guess. It's 1988.
No, no, you're wrong. It's 1992. So we're going to the tiebreak question. Right. It's very exciting. You're still in it, Brian. I'm going to read the title to a song, right? Whoever shouts the answer first wins the €100. Okay, so Brian, are you listening?
Yeah.
All right, Cahill, are you there?
No, indeed.
Right, okay. Finish the title of this song. Gloria Gaynor. Gloria Gaynor had a hit with this song, I Will.
Drive!
Oh.
I thought I had a shirt, please. That's the rules we were told.
Should we try it one more? I need another song.
Okay. Do we shout
the answer? Shout the answer. Right, we'll go again. Are we happy enough? We're fair enough. We're all friends here, right? Okay.
Go ahead.
Right, okay. So whoever finishes this song first wins the €100. It's day one. Give us a break. Like, we're not sending this tape up to Virgin Media. We'll get it right tomorrow. All right. This song, name the word of the song. Elvis Presley, Are You Lonesome?
Tonight.
Lads, can we split it? Yes, we're both at the exact same.
I will splatter.
I don't know what I'm going to do. So tough. You're not only friends and know each other, but you are literally like conjoined twins. You're able to respond at the exact same time. Listen, we'll get it sorted. We'll listen back to the tapes. If there was any difference at all, we'll announce it. Otherwise, we'll sort something out for the both of you. Thanks so much, guys, for playing. Good crack. Bye. I appreciate it. All right, take care. Bye-bye. Take care. All right, okay. And it's all about play with Virgin Media. How do you think that went, Caroline, out of 10? What would you give that out of 10? Zero. I thought it was good fun. All right, okay. Listen, as I say, we'll get it refined for tomorrow. It's good fun. Thanks so much, Brian. And thanks, Cahill, for being great sports. I really do appreciate it. We'll listen back to the tape there. And if one is just in slightly the other, we'll sort that out, or we'll sort it out one way or other. Right, okay. Hi, Greg. Did you intentionally use another cliche with barking up the wrong tree after the interview with the councillor who was as happy as the dog with two tails, as you say? Donegal is always the underdog. Hopefully the drug dog is successful and not have the attitude to let sleeping dogs lie, or we will be sick as a dog. Hope it's a puppy, as he can't teach an old dog new tricks. These are surely the dog days of summer. Right, now, if we were having a competition, as many puns you could get into one text, I think you'd be at least in with a sniff of a chance. So well done to you for that. Thank you very much indeed. I actually really do appreciate the effort. Happy birthday to Joanne Doherty from Stranorla, who is 60 today. Happy birthday, Joanne. Love from mum and dad and all the family. Please play Daniel O'Donnell. We don't do that on this show. We don't have time for music. We try and squeeze it in when we can, but we will pass that on to John O'David, who I'm sure will be more than happy to play Daniel O'Donnell. Was he recording a new music video in the West, as they say, over the weekend? I saw a casting call. I'd be excited to see that. He's really up in his game, isn't he, with the videos for his tracks. Anyway, listen, we're going to head to the news now after these.